It was a busy day at the Wisconsin State Capitol yesterday, and while there were plenty of partisan battles, Republicans and Democrats did come together on a plan to fund improvements for the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium. It's Wednesday, October 18th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, there's more news coming from the University of Wisconsin system. Rich Kramer will have the latest on what's going on at two campuses. And we talked yesterday about the StoryCorps mobile recording booth visiting our Green Bay Bureau. Well, we're going to hear one of the stories that came from that stay. Stay with us.
Being up to date on the news matters to you. That's where Wisconsin Today comes in. These 10 minutes of the biggest stories from around the state, they're possible thanks to community support. Give now at wpr.org/givewitoday.
The state of Wisconsin and the county and city of Milwaukee could spend more than $500 million on the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium under a bill which passed the assembly yesterday. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the bipartisan bill is aimed at keeping the Brewers in Milwaukee through 2050.
Alongside the public money, the Brewers would also chip in $100 million. The funds would go towards maintenance and renovations at American Family Field. It was a rare bipartisan bill that would have failed without votes from Democrats. That gave the minority party more bargaining power than it's accustomed to in the GOP-dominated legislature. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, a Republican from Rochester, said the amount of public funding is outweighed by the economic benefit of guaranteeing that the Brewers stay put.
If the Brewers leave, dollars follow.
Critics called the plan an example of corporate welfare. Governor Tony Evers has said he'll sign the bill. First, it will have to pass the Senate. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Meanwhile, Senate Republicans passed a bill yesterday that reignited familiar debates over the state's budget surplus. It would cut more than $2 billion in taxes over the next 2 years. The vast majority would go towards a new income tax cut for people who earn between about $28,000 and $300,000 per year. The Senate GOP plan would also expand tax credits for child care. Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu told colleagues that's popular among Wisconsin residents.
That's not some gimmick. That's real money. Instead of holding on to our state surplus, let's give it back to the taxpayers.
Republicans added the tax cuts to a special session bill introduced by Governor Tony Evers, but deleted almost all of what Evers wanted in the process. That included getting rid of Evers' plan to spend hundreds of millions of dollars to continue a pandemic-era child care subsidy. Classes are set to end next year at two more University of Wisconsin System campuses. Rich Kramer reports the move comes amid enrollment declines at two-year colleges.
By June of next year, classes will end at UW-Milwaukee, Washington County, and UW-Oshkosh Fond du Lac. Also, a campus in Richland Center that hasn't seen students since May will officially close. System President Jay Rothman acknowledged it's a hard time for universities. More than 200 employees at the main UW-Oshkosh campus are being cut, and Republicans are blocking pay raises for all UW workers.
Whether it's layoffs and furloughs, changes at our branch campuses, or uncertainty over their wages, I recognize that it is an extraordinarily difficult time for our employees.
Enrollment across all two-year UW campuses has fallen by nearly 60% between 2012 and 2022. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Let's dive a little deeper into one of the things that UW System President Jay Rothman mentioned there, because Republican legislative leaders withheld pay raises included in the state budget yesterday for University of Wisconsin System employees. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has said he will continue to block raises until the universities end diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. There are more than 34,000 workers in the university system. They make up half of all the state employees. UW System President Jay Rothman said he'll continue to advocate for this staff in ongoing conversations with lawmakers.
It is unprecedented to withhold pay from tens of thousands of working families, as was done today. We are beyond disappointed.
Other state workers will receive 6% raises over the next 2 years. Earlier this year, Republicans cut $32 million from the UW System budget over those objections to diversity programs. And by the way, Wisconsin Public Radio staff are employees of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. All right, coming up. So yesterday here on the program, we talked about StoryCorps, known for bringing out nostalgia and deep conversations between two people. Well, as we discussed yesterday, that StoryCorps mobile recording booth came to Green Bay this summer. Coming up here on the show, we'll hear the first of many conversations that happened during their stay. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Tyler Ditter with a story about two trailblazing basketball champions.
Prior to 1972, girls didn't always have the opportunity to play sports at school. But the passage of Title IX changed that. It paved the way for Manitowoc's Roncalli girls basketball team to become the sport's first state champions in 1975. Two former teammates talked with one another about that experience as part of a StoryCorps mobile tour stop in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
My name is Barb Barenbrook-Luring. I am 65 years old.
I am Sue Tringali Johnson. I am 66. So we grew up in Manitowoc, Wisconsin, and our city recreation department did have organized girls' basketball teams for grade school and high school. But at that point in time, we were playing, knowing we're going to be going into high school, where there were no sports teams for girls.
But ta-da, enter the passage of Title IX, the fact that our private high school, Manitowoc Roncalli, received public assistance for lunches, which meant they were getting public assistance, so they would have to begin offering sports for girls too. So when we got to school, we found out that we were going to have a basketball team. We felt like we won the lottery.
In the summer of 1972, the budgets were already done, and all the money, of course, was at that point pledged to the boys' sports teams. So that meant the budget for the girls was zero, right? Nothing. Assistant coach Sue Schneider, who was a...
Her mom was like an excellent seamstress. She came to a practice one night and she measured each of us girls and put together a pair of polyester navy blue shorts that she custom sewed for each of us. So the pants are taken care of.
The school did step up a little bit and ordered light blue polyester sleeveless tops with these giant numbers on them and no school name. But we had, now we had shorts, our sleeveless tops with the giant numbers, so we were going to be able to play. And actually, we finished our high school season with an 8-3 record.
Pretty good for a first season.
So our second season, we were undefeated. Officially, we did win sectionals, but we really wanted a full state tournament like the boys had, right? Not
right.
Stopping at regionals. And then it changed because then we found out for the 1974-75 season when I was a senior and you're a junior, mm-hmm. just in time, right?
Just in
time. For me, they announced that there'd be the first tournament for girls in the state of Wisconsin.
And we did actually make it to the state tournament, which was February 22nd, 1975. So we won our semifinal game against Milwaukee Lutheran, which meant we would be playing Racine St. Catherine.
It was a super close game, 65-62. Actually pretty high scoring. And this was in the day of no three-point
shot. No three-pointers, right.
So we won, you know, and it was an amazing experience. And I know tears just started immediately because, you know, all the things we work for. It just was like there. It's all coming back for me right now, which is crazy. And then we got the trophy and all that. It was super cool. And we were in Madison, and it was about a three-hour ride back to Manitowoc. And it just so happened that the boys were playing. So the gym was packed. We were introduced at halftime, walked out, standing ovation. It was like just super cool.
It was a real moment of validation for those of us that were there that felt like basketball was really important. And just imagine that group of us girls, but there were girls all over the country whose lives were changed forever by Patsy Mink, Congressman, our representative Patsy Mink, and her congressional colleagues, and a president who together created our powerful Title IX movement It was like the stars were just all lined up. It was pretty cool.
That was Barb Barenbrook-Loring and Sue Tringali-Johnson, formerly of Manitowoc. Their interviews were recorded at StoryCorps, a national initiative to record and collect stories of everyday people. Excerpts were selected and produced by Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of WPR and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Tyler Ditter.
What a great story to end the show on. That'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. And of course, our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Every single weekday morning, we'll be right here in your podcast feed. And of course, don't forget to subscribe. We'll show up automatically. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.